Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Yeah, I know, it's chilly out. I want you to know that all the way out where I live, it was 8 below when we began. By the time we got to this church, it was 14 below. It was warmer where I live, and that you know is a miracle of heaven. Glory to Jesus. Today, you're going to have to worship a little bit stronger. Some of you want to be warm. Amen. No snuggling, that's all we got to say. We want hot chocolate. We'll have that in the foyer. Glory to God. Did you hear this new thing they're all doing, all these churches are doing now? They're called donut racks, right? Donut walls. Can you imagine doing a donut wall at His Tabernacle Family Church? It would take an entire wall. We'd buy out all of Dunkin' Donuts just to give everybody one donut. But I do believe that God made donuts on purpose, don't you? Aren't you glad that God made donuts? Jesus is good. Are you ready to worship? Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for this week of prayer and fasting. God, we thank you that we were able to bring our flesh into subjection so that this morning when we stand in your presence, that God, your power will be shown. Father, our hearts will be changed, and Jesus, you will be glorified. For all those that are watching on live stream right now, Lord, I release a blessing into their homes in Jesus' name. Lord, let them be bold in worship no matter where they are, that God, they will enter into the very presence of heaven, and that God, each one of us will hear the message that, Lord, will shift us, change us, that God, you will show us how intricately involved in our lives you actually are. Father, we love you. And we thank you for Jesus. And this morning, Lord, we just ask that no matter what has distracted us, that we take authority over every thought and imagination that would raise itself up against God. And we are determined to enter your presence. We love you. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. And we need you this morning. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's worship.
Come on, let's give a shout if God is good. If you actually believe God is good, let me hear you shout real quick. Come on, nah, that's not a good God shout. Come on, let's give him a shout like never before. Come on, 1, 2, 3. He's an awesome God, right? Hallelujah.
Can't move. God is awesome. Just give him a praise right now. Amen.
Power in the name.
Father, hear our hearts this morning. We love you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, our hearts, Lord, we've been fasting all week and we've been going after you all week. And Lord, some people are tired in the room, but I pray in the name of Jesus that by your Spirit, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, you will quicken our mortal bodies by that same Spirit. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you love us so desperately. Lord, we pray for a supernatural deposit of a fresh love for you. Lord, a new level. God, we need something fresh from you. God, we need a new place in you. Lord, some of us have remained in the same grazing lot for so long. And Lord, we're still just picking up nubs. But I pray, Father, that you'll bring us to a new pasture. That God will be just waving with wheat, waving with green grass, waving with fruit, oh God, that, Lord, you so desperately want to feed our spirit with. Lord, I pray in this place that Jesus will just go in and will enjoy you. Lord, I pray for a fresh enjoyment of your Spirit. God, that refreshing, oh God, in our hearts. Lord, pull some of us from our religious spot. Pull some of us, God, into that new area. And Lord, we can just look into your eyes and say, we love you, Jesus. And thank you for that fresh love you've given us. We need you. God, we can't. In fact, we choose not to survive without you. Lord, we love you so much. In Jesus' name. You know, a whole week of fasting and praying, I want to challenge you as we're going into the new week that everybody will fast one day this coming week. What I'd like this church to start doing is coming to a place where we're fasting at least once a week. That means you will have fasted your entire year's days. I believe in tithing, don't you? Do you realize that if we take 365 days and we tithe one day a week, you will have tithed more and have seeded in sowing and reaping of your life. And I challenge you to do that. At least fast one day a week as a tithe to God. And you'll find that you will, at the end of this year, you cannot help but grow. Amen? You can't. Because the more you starve your flesh, the more you tell your flesh to come into subjection, the more your spirit rises within you. Now, you see, it's in these moments. Some of you are struggling this morning, stepping into the presence of the Lord. And this is what fasting does. It teaches you how to say, mind, shut up. Body, come into agreement with God's word. I choose to worship you, God, no matter what I feel, no matter what I think, no matter what I like, no matter what I don't like. God, you are still worthy, and you are still king, and you still deserve all of the praise and all of the worship. So, Lord, whether I feel it or not, a lot of us, we live, and this is why the flesh has to come into subjection. We live so much by our feelings. This is not about feelings. He's God whether you feel it or not. Amen? He's worthy whether you feel it or not. He's good whether you feel it or not. He deserves it all. Our lives are not our own. He said, I look to and fro upon the earth to those who will worship me in spirit and in truth. You see, when you come to this place, you learn how to surrender when you bring your flesh into subjection. You know, I love the praise and worship team. They're great, aren't they? But here's the question. Could you step in without them? And if you can't, then you need to fast a little bit more. Amen? Because what happens is when we need music to stir us, there are seven Hebrew words to worship and praise. The word, first one is yada. That is, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. The next one is tauda. And that is, I surrender. That's when we lift our hands, an outward expression of what's happening inside. And then it's Shabak. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Watch now. Then it's Zamar. What's Zamar? Strike the band. I've done all I can do to worship with what I've got. I need some help. Take me to the next level. You see, Zamar does not come until after you've already entered with praise and worship, entered with surrender, entered with the shout, and then, oh, I need some help. The next one is Tehillah. Oh, is that the right one? Halal, I'm sorry. H-A-L-A-H. Here it is. You know what halal means? Clamorously and foolishly praising him. You know, we look at little kids during praise and worship. That's why I love it when the kids come to praise and worship sometimes. Because they just run around and they're spinning around. And us adults are going, well, you know. When was the last time you clamorously and foolishly praised him where you didn't care what somebody else thought or said? We're so filled with pride. You know what I mean? We really are. We're so concerned with what somebody else thinks. Well, guess what? When you stand before the Lord, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. And you know what? If they make fun of you because you're foolishly in praising, guess what happened? That's what happened to Michael, Saul's daughter, when David came into the presence of the Lord. Guess what happened to Michael? She was barren. You don't want to be barren, do you? You know what barren means? Barren means no production of fruit. If you don't want to be barren, who cares what anybody else is doing, man? You just got to let go and you let God. When you do that, you're going to get a smile on your face. Why? Because I finally gave God all that I had in praise and worship. Amen. So I just want to challenge you. Let's go to the next level. It's time to go deeper in Christ. So now some of you, every one of us are at a different plane with our walk with the Lord. Some of you are freshly saved, and this is a stretch for you. You got that white knuckle disease. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, what did I get myself into? You're going to be all right. Amen. Turn to someone and say, you're going to be all right. But some of us here have been worshiping the Lord for decades, and we still have never once given Him everything during praise and worship. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being married to someone for 20 years and they never truly gave you all of their heart? I challenge you to make a step in God that you've never made before. If you're afraid of what people are going to think, we got a whole back section. You can go run and dance back there. Have fun. Just enjoy Jesus. You know, sometimes I like to frolic. Anybody know what frolic means? It's an old word. Frolic. Frolic means you just cast. I know all the older folk are going, I know what that means. Frolic simply means I skipped. Let me see. Skip to my loo. There you go. Where, man, you're smiling. You got so much joy bubbling inside of you. No one could quench it if they wanted to. You're just frolicking, running through the trees, running through the flowers, sniffing the flowers, enjoying yourself. Remember one time, I'll end with this. One time I walked out front of my house when we lived in Big Flats. We got this big field. And I walked out, and it had been such a busy kingdom year that year. It had been really busy. And I stopped. My dog was going to the bathroom. I stopped, and I actually heard birds. And you know what I said to myself? You know, I have not listened to the birds, and I think it was like June. I have not listened to the birds yet this year. I've not taken the time to enjoy God's creation and what He's done in my life. And today I challenge you, frolic a little. I mean,
when he told that story, all I got was a visual of Pastor all of a sudden frolicking through the field in front of our house. I was so sad that I missed that happening. I would have recorded it for all of you, I promise.
Go to your room. Sometimes you just got to have fun, you know what I mean? You know God's fun. You know, God loves to have fun. He loves to laugh. He created you to laugh. Can y'all do me a favor? I know it's a little weird. Can y'all just laugh right out loud? Do you know what that immediately does? It puts a smile on your face. You don't even have a choice. Maybe you're laughing at how you laugh. I don't know what the problem is. But, you know, sometimes you just gotta laugh. Can you laugh one more time? Well, I don't want to fake it. Well, you know, maybe you need to. maybe your family's out. You need to fake it a little. Can you laugh one more time? Laugh real loud. Just loud. Sometimes you just got to enjoy. You got to laugh. You got to enjoy the presence of the Lord. Amen? On your way back to your chair, listen, if you have halitosis, don't laugh in someone's face. But if you don't have halitosis, or if you do, just turn your head a little bit. Go laugh with somebody. Just go let them know that you love them this morning. Meet five people you don't know and encourage someone in the Lord today. Come on, go find somebody. Go find.
Hey, HT family, we want to tell you about the next Step 2 class coming up. It's starting January 16th at 7 p.m. The teacher is Miss Carla Vischer, and the topic is faith and finances. If you've completed Step 1 Rock Solid Faith, this is a great next step.
We got something amazing coming up for you, family, the No More Hurt Seminar. This is for both men and women. It's on Friday, January 19th from 6 to 9 p.m., as well as Saturday, January 20th from 9 to 2.
Is that another cup of coffee?
Yeah, why?
Because if you spent half as much taking me out than you did coffee.
Yo, I took you on a date? What? It was like back in like November, yeah, not too long ago.
Right. Listen, we have our very first marriage encounter, April 12th to the 14th. It's time to invest into a healthy marriage.
The total cost per couple is $425. First payment due on January 28th of $150. Make sure you sign up at the Hub today.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How you guys doing this morning? Come on, come on. Give your God a bigger shout than that. Yes, it's cold. Yes, the snow is out there. Yes, it might have been crazy coming in, but we serve a good God. So come on, give your God a shout of praise. Amen? Amen? Awesome, awesome. Welcome to our 9 a.m. service. We're so excited you could brave the cold, the wind, the snow to come into the house of the Lord. The Bible says that it is a good thing for us to come together and to dwell together, to give God a shout of praise, to worship Him, to get into the Word, and to have community and fellowship. So we're so excited, and I love my church. Love, who loves their church? Come on. I love my church. I love Sundays. Come on, let's say hello to live stream. You guys are so awesome. If you guys just snowed in, we still love you. Thank you for watching. Hope you guys have enjoyed the worship and the word that's going to be coming up. Who here, this is your first time in this building? Oh, come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Over there as well. If this is your first time, let me just see your hand. If you could just keep your hand up, we have a gift for you over here, Dr. Betsy. Oh, you guys already got it? Wow. Give it up for our guest team. Y'all are on today. Y'all are on. I'm not sure if they've told you as well, but over on this side after our service, we have a guest reception. Get to meet our pastor, some people on the staff, grab some coffee, some food, and just get to know one another, right? So thank you again for coming. Come on, let's give them a hand clap. All right, you all should have your bulletins. Pull them out. Raise them up. Come on, pull out your bulletins. If you don't have some, they're in the back. You can see we have so much going on in this church. You do not want to miss it. This week is going to be jam-packed prayer Monday through Thursday. Then this Friday and Saturday, we have the No More Hurt Seminar. Again, it is not just for women. It is for men as well. You want to be there. You do not want to miss it. Amen? So who's going to go home and read their bulletin? Come on. Will you? Okay, please do. Thank you so much. We love you guys, and let's have Pastor Rhonda to receive the offering.
Amen. I hope you're all planning on coming out. We have a dynamic group of speakers for the No More Hurt Conference, and you're able to get 8 weeks of training in 2 days. So come with your notebooks and ready to be free of hurt. I just want to say how much Pastor and I love this congregation. I am so excited. This past week of fasting and prayer was the most incredible that we have ever had. We are expecting dynamic things in our church families and in your families from starting off our year with first fruits. But I come to you this morning with the Word of God. And when the Word of God is spoken, it goes forth and it accomplishes what it was sent to do. So how many of you would like to have increased to a place of running over in your lives? All right, if you didn't raise your hand, there's a problem. How many of you want increase in your life to a place of running over? Awesome. Well, let's go to the Word of God and what it has to say about this. And that's in Luke 6:38. And the beginning of increase, this is how it starts. Give. Give. It starts with give. And it shall be given unto you. Wait, let's back up to the give. Now, does it classify who can give there? It doesn't, if you're from the right side of the tracks, if you have all of the right pedigree or the history or the color of your skin or the economic standing, or does it just say give? God is no respecter of persons, right? So right in here in Luke 6:38, it says give. And it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's what the Word of God says. So to break poverty that tries to come in every, that thief that tries to come and steal, to break that, we break it by becoming givers. And then in 2 Corinthians 8, I challenge you to go home and read, write this down. 2 Corinthians 8 and chapter 9 talks all about giving. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 3. Now I want to tell you what God has done for the churches in Macedonia. Though they have been going through hard times and have mixed their wonderful joy with their deep poverty. You see, they were in deep poverty and having hard times, but the Word of God is true always. And we already know what it says, give and it shall be given to you, and it running over. So they gave in their deep poverty, and the result has been an overflow. The result has been an overflow. So this works even in a place of abject poverty. When we choose to give, it comes back to us in overflow. They gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And I can testify that they did it because they wanted to. Not because of nagging on my part. They did it out of a place of joy. Just like in our worship, we give our worship to God. We love. How many of you love joyfully? Give your worship. It's the same way in the giving of our finances. Joyfully, when we give joyfully, He will cause us to overflow. And then finally in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come in abundance to you, so that you may always, under all circumstances, regardless of the need, have complete sufficiency in everything, being completely self-sufficient in Him and having an abundance for every good work. That's what the Word of God says, that when we choose to give with a willing and joyful heart, it will overflow to us, every single one. He's no respecter of persons. That is how we bring increase in our life. Give, and it shall be given to a place of running over. How many of you are ready to give so it shall be given joyfully to our God this morning? Stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. Again, the Word of God. You can find this in Deuteronomy 28. And we just repeat this every Sunday morning, making declaration over our finances. We're breaking off that poverty spirit. We're breaking off that poverty thinking. And it starts right here by giving. Repeat after me. If I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. Your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching by a live stream, click on the giving button, give right along with us, or you can even text to give.
Praise the Lord. Can we give one more appreciation to Josiah Skinkle? For those who don't know who he is the gentleman that plows our parking lot. He's on staff here. Josiah has been with us, I believe, I want to say 18 years. Is it? I believe it's 18 years he's been at His Tabernacle Family Church, and we are just so blessed. And we have folks from the very first year, amen. The Beaches have been with us, I believe, 20 years. Shannon Palco has been with us 20 years. There's a large group of people that have been with us from the very beginning. Amen. I'm so excited today because this is something I've never really done. In fact, I can be honest with you, I've never really looked at it like this. This is the year of... Amen. How many of you got those shirts? Those shirts are cool. Our logo is cool this year. And it's just really neat watching what God is going to do. And this year, during the principles of divine connection, it's imperative that we go back and grasp a hold of certain principles to make sure that we know that God has a divine plan for us. Turn to someone and say, God has a plan for you. Tell somebody else God's purposed your life. There's too many believers that are lost and confused, not sure where they're going. And I want you to realize today that God has a plan for you. The Bible says that God has created you and I with purpose. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have towards you, says the Lord. The thoughts and peace and not of evil, or to give you, but to give you a future and a hope. Psalms 139, verse 14. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Turn to someone and say, you're wonderful. Tell somebody else, you're special. Oh, we haven't sung that song in so long. It's time. Are you ready? I'm special, special, S-P-E-C-I-A-L. I'm special. One more time. I'm special, special, S-P-E-C-I-A-L. I'm special. Now turn to the person next to you and sing it the best you can. You're special, special. And it's so true. You are special. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Come on, give yourself a hand clap this morning that God created you to be you. Truthfully, even though I've said, you know, we've talked about divine connections and I've thought about, truthfully, I've never thought about the connections that God has put in my life all the way from childhood to bring me where I am today. And the truth, which is so powerful, his vision always brings purpose, joy, peace, and satisfaction. Some of you are dissatisfied with life. You blame the area. You blame your economic situation. You blame your spouse. We always try to blame the spouse. Can I hear an amen? But the truth is that when you know who you are and you know the direction of your life, there is a satisfaction that happens inside that nobody else can give you. Listen, no matter where you live, no matter where you live, if you're a person of destiny, you always live in satisfaction. If you're a person of destiny, no matter where you live, no matter how much you make, no matter even at times during the struggle, Jesus proved this when he said, I count it all joy to go to the cross, because his purpose, his destiny was that you and I would be saved. And that came even through great pain. Thank God for the resurrection. Amen. Some of you, God's going to do some resurrecting when you stop looking at the pain and you look at the resurrector. Can I hear an amen? Mark chapter 16, verse 20, our verse for the year. God working with them. You see, God wants to couple with you. God has a great plan. You know, we always look at Jesus. You know, Jesus came on the earth as the Savior. He did, the works and the mighty signs and wonders. He preached the gospel, the kingdom of God. Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. But here's the key, is that Jesus understood the necessity of divine connections. For once he died and rose from the dead, if Jesus had not made divine connections, the gospel would have stopped. People that you and I don't even know their name. We know the apostles' names, but there were many that followed Jesus. And every one of them made a difference because Christ connected with them. There was a transition, a transformation, and then they themselves connected with others. I want you to recognize today that even heaven would not work without divine connections. So many of us, how many of you got saved within the last 10 years? How many of you live for the devil pretty good? Well, at least we have some honest folk here. Hallelujah. There's something called prevenient grace. And, you know, many of us don't realize what that is. That is that God was working to connect you with people and situations before you ever accepted him as your Savior to bring you to a place of understanding. God put people in your pathway. God put preachers in your pathway. God put a message. Maybe one day you are turning on the television, or maybe you're watching right now, or maybe you're watching this on the TV program this morning on His Word TV, and you were just flipping through, and you stopped on this channel. That's a divine connection to hear the gospel, to have your life changed. I was talking to someone, and they said, I got saved by listening to the 700 Club. Listen, their life changed, their generations changed because there was a divine connection on that television station that one day. God, before you ever even thought, he has already started putting people in your life, divine connections in your life to bring you to a place that you and I will fulfill our purpose and our destiny. That is the most exciting part, is recognizing that you're not here to suck air, but you actually have divine purpose. Many of us don't know what it is. Well, I'm looking for the will of God. The will of God's not hidden. The will of God's not lost. But the interesting factor is the Bible says that we've got to connect with the right people so that the vision within our heart, the desires of our heart, will be able to be manifested in showing God's love to other people. You see, the right people is everything. And the right timing is everything. I have found that many people are connected with the wrong connectors. They love God, but they stay connected with power that is not from above. You see, the more power, listen now, you only get the power you draw from. So in our lives, when we are not connected to the right people, or we're not connected enough to the right ones, then what happens is the vision never grabs the light. You always stay dim in your mindset. You always stay dim in your walk with the Lord. The Bible says that in the book of Hebrews that people have the dimness, or they are dull in their faith. We've got to get back to a place where Christ is the light. Can I hear an amen? We've got to be connected with the right people. And many of us, we have that connection with individuals that we like. They're nice individuals. We've known them since they were young. We had fun with them in high school. We had a great time in college. We hung out when we were adults. And maybe before you were saved, they were your drinking buddies and your partying buddies. And now you're born again and you're trying to stay connected with them because you're trying to keep the old mind and memory alive. But I want you to know that God is not the God of the past, but God is the God of the future. And God's got a plan for you. And sometimes you've got to disconnect from some to get more power from another. And that is where you and I make a decision. I'm going to accelerate or I'm going to remain the same. I'm going to be a bright light. I'm going to be LED or I'm just going to be a little light in the bathroom. How many got little lights in the bathroom? Amen. You got that little light. It's not a big light. You don't want it bright, but God didn't call you to be dull. God didn't call you to be dim. God called you to be the light of the world. Can I hear an amen? You see, this is the heart and the plan of God. The interesting part is that when we miss the connections that God has for us, has anybody ever flown before? You've been in an airport? I remember one time the airplane was late leaving. And so here we are, we're looking at the watch and saying, I'm in trouble. I'm hoping to make my connection. And I remember landing in Detroit. Now, listen, in the old days, we used to land in Terminal C. How many of you remember Terminal C? Way down in the bottom of the dungeon. And my flight was leaving from Terminal A, which is not in the dungeon and almost a mile long if it's not. And I remember coming into the area and my time to my connection was short and I sprinted. Now, how many of you have ever seen someone running through the airport? Running through the airport. And I got to the gate, you ready? And this is what they did. Shut the door. And I said, I'm here. And they said, sorry. The door's been shut. I said, you just shut it. I just watched you shut it. And they said, but the door is shut. You're going to have to wait for the next connection. Some of us, we've missed the right connections. And now we're sitting in the terminal. I sat in the terminal for 7 hours. Jesus, help us all. This is what happens when you're not paying attention to the divine connections that he has in your life. We miss connections. And it's not that God abandons us, but we have to find the next connection or be aware when it comes down the pike. We cannot sit back. Listen, you can sit in front of that door. And when the second connection comes, if you remain sitting there and don't get up and don't walk down the hallway, then you are not getting on the plane. If you don't get on the plane, just pitch a tent in Detroit. You've got to make decisions that the divine connections in your life are God-planned, and he has them for you. Don't miss your connection. Turn to someone and say, don't miss your connections. You know, I wanted to go back, and this is an interesting part. Many people, in fact, what's really cool is listening to young people. I preached at the youth group a few times, we've had them at our house, and they walked into our house in Big Flats. Now, in Big Flats, we paid $79,000 for our home. It was a very modest home, a New England-style house. What was it called? A Cape Cod, there you go, with two dormers. And they walked in our house, and they go, you're rich. And I'm saying, no. We've lived here a long time. We paid $79,000. It's not a rich home in any way, shape, or form. But what happens is they started looking at that and presuming that we've always been rich. You see, it's interesting that when we see somebody successful, we don't usually look at the path they had to take to get there. We don't look at the connections that they had to make to get where they are. We only see where they are. How many of you, when you start talking about Brother Hagin, Dr. Kenneth Hagin, who's gone on to be with the Lord, it costs $1 million a day to open up the Rhema Bible College and Ministry. Every single day, $1 million. And everybody looked at him and say, well, you know, he's one of these name it, claim it guys. But they never looked at where he came from. And where he came from was very interesting because he said, I remember one day driving in my old Oldsmobile up the road and all of a sudden I was on my way to go preach at a meeting before he was married and the Oldsmobile died. He said I had to get out of the Oldsmobile and I had to start walking to the ministry so I could get there. He said I started thumbing. I never went back to that car. We think about the $1 million and how successful he was when he passed on with all the books that he wrote and the impact all over the world. But we forget that connections are what brought him there. And many of us are looking at our lives and trying to compare us with somebody else. You are uncomparable. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are nobody else. You have a distinct DNA that God has planted in your life. And God's plan for you is so unique, you cannot compare yourself with anybody else. And you see, the same with me. My life was very interesting. You know, I just got to thank the Lord. I grew up in a home where mom and dad took me to church. You see, my mother and my father, they took me to the house of God. They took me on a consistent basis. I was always in church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, I think it was Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Friday night, usually some kind of experience where we're in the house of the Lord, whether it be youth group or some other aspect. I remember going to children's church and them speaking to me. I remember, I think I've told this before, I remember going to my grandmother's house on Sunday nights and practice vomiting in the toilet, you know, just that sound, so I could get out of going to Sunday night church so I could watch The Wild Kingdom. My parents figured it out, and then we were in church. We didn't just go to church. I mean, we didn't get out of church until 9 or 9:30 at night. And then we'd go back to Graham's house and have crackers and milk, and we'd have, you know, soft-boiled eggs all mashed up with salt and pepper in them. Glory to God. These are distinct memories in my life, but the greatest connection that God gave me was a mother and a father who loved to bring me to church. And my mom, especially, she invested so much spirit. She was my Sunday school teacher. Her and my Aunt Queenie were my Sunday school teachers. I remember them drilling all the Sunday school verses that I had to memorize. All these, man, they sound like nothing. But you see, if somebody's never had them before, then there's a connector missing in your life. And you see, God had to bring you from a different terminal to get you where you're going. But that was one of the very first connectors in my life. The next great connector was my grandmother. My grandma, she loved the Lord. What's very interesting about my grandmother was my grandmother was very sickly. We weren't taught back then that God healed. So she was always sick and she very rarely could leave the house. But I was a challenging child. No, I was just plain bad. I was a bad child. No, really, I was a bad child. Everybody here, in fact, I remember throwing knives in the ceiling in first grade. I remember calling the fire department and having them come because the school was on fire because I called the 911. They didn't have 911 back then, but I called the fire department in. I remember cussing out teachers, and I was just a bad child. And I remember my grandmother. This is a divine connection that I remember distinctly about my grandmother. This one moment, this one connector, ready? She said, come down here. We used to have to take naps, you know, Sunday afternoons, you know, Pentecostal naps. I hated them. And they would always put me in Uncle Donnie's room. He died. He was dead. But yet they put me in his room. What a spooky experience for a child. And I remember my grandmother calling me down one day, and she looked at me and she said, Michael, I have pastors all over the United States praying for you. I was a bad child, But that was a connector in my life. I've never forgotten that. Listen, you will have people in your lives that are important to your life, but they're never a connector. My grandmother was a connector. The pastor of that church, Reverend Locker, was a connector. Listen, many times connections are not made in multiplicity with individuals. Many times a connection is made only once. But that one connection will propel you to more power or something more into the future. And I remember Reverend Locker. Man, he used to preach at the church. And as a kid, we used to sing, I love page 144, I'll Fly Away. Or page 251, talking about prayer. And I want you to recognize that one time he did something that connected me that I never forgot. And that was he allowed the Holy Spirit to move. I remember coming out of my chair during worship and going to the altar. And for 6 weeks, that pastor allowed the moving of the Holy Spirit. There was no preaching on Sunday nights. It was just a powerful outpouring of God's anointing. I remember people getting baptized in the Holy Ghost under the piano. I remember Uncle Gary, who was about 6'2" or 6'3", being slain in the Holy Ghost. He was an ex-Hell's Angel. He went over backwards and his head hit the corner of the pew. It sounded like it broke his head open, but there was not one bump and not one bruise. I remember those connector days. That was a divine connection in my spirit even before I even really recognized who God was. You see, God is working prevenient grace before you even know. There's a man named Ken and Betty Knowlton who are our youth pastors. And you know, the only reason I went to youth group was to pick up chicks. The only reason, 50 teenagers in their home. He was the track coach, and I was on the track team. And I was flashing girls, and they were flashing me back. And I'm not talking, you know, cue cards saying verses. And here I was. I remember this connection that Ken and Betty made. They pulled me aside and rebuked me. I'm talking, they were nasty and strong to me. I hated Ken and Betty Knowlton. I didn't like going to their youth group. I tried to get out, but thank God for the connector called Mom and Dad that said, whether you like it or not, you're going. Not too many years ago, I sent them a thank you, because you changed my life and you don't even know it. There was a man named Dennis Racine. And Dennis Racine was a man, has anybody ever heard of the Royal Rangers? It's like the Christian Boy Scouts. And you know, I have somewhat of an addictive personality. And my addictive personality, all my buddies, they were trying to get me. You know, I had one time I was in high school, and they walked up and they said, Spencer, smoke one joint with us, we'll give you a dime bag. Spencer, we have some acid. You want to pop an acid? You know, little purple pyramids in algebra class. Everybody's popping. They're passing that little strip around. Everybody's just taking a little tab of acid. And you know, I thank God that I never went that direction. I never smoked one joint. I never did any drugs. And especially my senior year, the reason was because this man, he was a connector in my life. His name was Dennis Racine. I don't know if he's alive or dead, but the one thing I know was he connected me with this Christian Boy Scout organization. And for the next year, he constantly challenged me. Spencer, how far are you going to go in the organization? Spencer, how much are you going to accomplish in the organization? Push, push, push. And I went all the way to what would be equated to an Eagle Scout with the Boy Scouts. Why? Because this man was a connector that God used to keep me out of drugs and alcohol. There was another husband and wife named Rudy and Loretta Richards. They were crazy. They were crazy. They caused me, I think, more trouble with them than anybody. But this connection that they had in my life was one that actually changed me, because they were in the face all the time. They were always yelling at me. And my sister, they loved my sister. They hated me. I don't know what the problem was. But they truly made an indentation. They truly made a connection in my life that changed me. There was a man, and I don't even remember his name. You see, some of the connections in your life that God is going to give you, you won't even remember their name, but you're going to remember the connection they made with you that propelled you to the next level. This youth pastor came to our church, and he had just gotten out of Bible school. And you see, I looked at my mom and dad. I had already been kicked out of youth group twice. Don't come back, Spencer. We don't want you in our youth ministry. You're causing too much trouble. And this guy came in, so I had another in so I could get kicked out one more time. And he started doing apologetics. How do you know the Bible is true? It caught me. I was sick and tired of believing the Bible because my mom and dad told me I had to. And all of a sudden, it started making sense. And God started connecting with me through this man. And I started realizing that the Bible is very valid and very powerful and very true. And sat back and he proved beyond a reasonable doubt that the Bible is truly the Word of God. And then March 13th, 1983, approximately 11:31, he pulled me out of the sanctuary just before the pastor started preaching, sat me down in the pastor's office and said, Spencer, I'm sick and tired of you. You either get in or get out. I'm done playing your games. That day, I committed my life to Jesus. And that day, God changed my life. The same man took me so I could get out of school for a day. He took me on a trip to Zion Bible Institute. And while I was at Zion, God did something in my life. I remember taking my foot and planting it on the ground at the school. You see, I wanted to be a Marine. I wanted to go, and I had already recruited two other guys with me. They were going in. I was going to go in as a PFC. And all of a sudden, what happened? It fell. Stay. All of a sudden, I recognized that I had to go to Bible school. I tried everything to get out, but that man made a connection with that Bible school. Now, I want you to recognize something, that day, if I had not chosen to obey God, I would not be here today. You see, your future is dependent upon the connections that God divinely has placed in your life. And you got to recognize the enemy just desperately does not want you connected. Now, watch, my summer, before I went to Bible school, there was a young lady, the hottest chick in high school. She had the tightest body, and she was a virgin. Everybody wanted this girl. So, man, we went out. I taught her how to drive, and that night she got back, and she said, listen, would you like to stay? We can go down to the lake and skinny dip. Now, I'm supposed to be leaving for Bible school in just a month. And I said, And I said, nope, I got to go. And she leaned into the car and she said, I know how I can make you stay. I remember putting my foot to the floor, peeling out, getting 3 miles down the road before the flesh could come up, could catch up to me. And the flesh said, what are you doing? And my spirit said, thank you, God. The Bible says, flee fornication. You know what? Who would have known that if I'd have made that connection, I wouldn't be here today. Every connection in your life is going to determine your future, positive connection or negative connection. It's so imperative. I went to Bible school, and at Bible school, God started changing my life. Man, I met a young man named Chris Spencer. Chris Spencer, he was African-American, and he called me. They called us the twins. Chris was just a wild man. You want to know how wild he was? He got up at 3 a.m. and started studying the Word till 7 a.m. And then after he got back from school, from regular school, he would then study the Word till 7 o'clock. Then he'd go to bed to get up at 3 o'clock. And I started watching him, and I said, what in the world is this guy doing? God made a connection with Chris Spencer to where I was actually able to be taught how to study the Bible. I would never have studied the Bible the way I do now without a connection made with Chris Spencer. Now, that young man, that wasn't even his real name. He had a fake name. He was under false pretenses at Bible school. He got a girl pregnant at Bible school. It was a bad situation, but the connection he made with me changed my life.
Every connector in your life has impact, and you've got to make a decision. You're drawing from the people that are involved in your life, and you've got to know the people that you're dealing with. Now, the Bible, you know, we talk about Christ with the connector with the apostles. I've got to get hustling here because I'll never get through this whole story of mine. There's a man named Jeff Quigley. Now, Jeff Quigley was the pastor in Watkins Glen, but he's now the pastor in Greece, New York. Before he was that, he was a senior in Bible school. And you know what he did for me? He kept me out of trouble. Listen, I almost got kicked out of Bible school twice. Shh, don't tell anybody. But this man, Jeff Quigley, Pastor Jeff Quigley, he balanced me out. He taught me how to pray. I remember going to his room, and he'd say, Spencer, you need to pay attention. And we'd start praying, and he taught me these principles. This is a connector in my life. Now listen, there are thousands of people. In fact, I guarantee literally thousands of people that I interacted with up to this point in my life, which was about 19 years old. But there were just a few that jumped so far off the page. They were that divine connection that changed my life. There's a man named Brian Sylvia. He was the drama director. And he says, young man, you're full of drama. I need you on the team. I joined the team, and for 3 years, we traveled all over the United States of America. And I was always in trouble. He made me stay with him because it would minimize the trouble that he'd have to fix with the church. What was really cool was the factor of, in the minimization, I remember him prophesying to me. He said, Pastor, the Lord, Michael, the Lord showed me that you're going to have such a deep relationship with God, more than most people, and he's going to reveal things to you that he's never revealed, even to other people, and he's going to bring you to a new plane in you. That was a divine connection. God changed my life through a man named Brian Sylvia. You know, the one thing that you're going to realize is that every person in your life brings you to a new place, a new change. Turn to someone and say, I love change. You just lied. Now you're going to hell. What's upside down? Oh, I am terrible at puzzles. That better? Terry, fix that. I remember my very first youth pastor. Terry, put up another one. I remember my very first youth pastor coming out of Bible school was a pastor named L.D. Reed. That guy was just the funnest pastor to ever work with. My nickname was the arrogant young pup. He was always correcting me, always yelling at me. I was always in trouble. But man, when we belly laughed, you know what I learned there? I learned how to love people. This man so loved individuals. With that connector, I learned how to love individuals. I learned that I had to submit to some level of authority. Each portion put together a piece of the puzzle. Then I met a man named Sid Griffith. He was the decap at the Assemblies of God. And he was a man that I had come down and preach at the church when I was senior pastoring in Newfield. And the power of God, he looked at me and he said, Spencer, you're one of the only... We are one of the last true Pentecostal churches in this district. He said, I am just so excited to be part of what you're doing here. That changed me. Why? Because it gave me hope and validation that where I was going was God's plan and not mine. In fact, the reason I even got to where I was because God used him. Then the Lord opened up the door for Brother Ted Shuttlesworth, who's made an enormous impact in my life. And today, this church is the very DNA of his tabernacle, is the DNA of Brother Ted Shuttlesworth, who goes back to R.W. Shambach, who goes back to A.A. Allen with the voice of healing. In ministries, there is a flow of connection. You see, every connection never stops with yourself, because what's inside of you goes to somebody else. There's a need to recognize that who you're connected to will bring you higher or destroy your life. Terry, puzzle. There was another man that I connected with for a very short period of time. His name was Lee Stutzman. Apostle Lee Stutzman. Man, that guy taught me how to move in the power and the supernatural. I remember one day I was believing God for something, and I said, I have a friend. He goes, yeah, I know who your friend is. It's you, right? And I said, well, I'm believing God for something. And he started teaching me the principles of the supernatural. Every connector. You see, this is just a few. Here we go. I can't stop. Then the Lord connected with Pastor Mary Edlin, who is my senior pastor. That's a big one right there. Pastor Mary, that's right, that's one of her spiritual sons in the back, one of the Bible school students. Pastor Mary Edlin changed my life. A female pastor. Oh, I don't believe in female pastors. Well, I do. That woman God used to change my life. She could spank you with a smile. She could correct you with a smile. She would encourage you when you needed encouragement. She'd listen to you babble if you needed to babble. This woman was my pastor, our pastor, for well almost 20 years. God used her in my life. She was a divine connection. And you know what she did? This is the power of divine connections. They then connect you with other people that they have opportunity with. I've sat across from Robert Slayerton. I've sat across from Brother Cornwell. I sat across from some of the greatest preachers in the United States of America. And I remember my wife kicking me. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Always. Sitting there, she was such a magnificent pastor, and this church is here today. Do you know she was only ever here once? Only ever walked in the door once. But her life transitioned this church. Her life saved our marriage. Her life and the rebukes that she gave kept our children in line. Every connector is powerful. With His Tabernacle Family Church, if you have never taken Apex, I believe we have it. We have some level of DVD on how this church was established. There was a man who my wife was working for. He was a Prudential executive, and my wife was his secretary, and his name was Lou Lamphere. And Lou Lamphere was not born again, I don't believe, at that point in time. He grew up Catholic. But something happened. My wife kept ministering to him. My wife kept dropping the gospel to him. And one day he walked in the doors of the church, and he gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. God changed his life. And then God used his life to change my life. You see, in Bible school, they teach you how to do ministry, but they don't teach you anything about business. And whether you like it or not, the church has a business side. You have a responsibility to be responsible for the finances, responsible for the organization of the ministry. And he, for over a year and a half, walked with me. I was the youngest mall walker that was there every day for about a year. And as we walked, he taught me and trained me in business. Without Lou Lamphere, we would not be here today. There's a man who wasn't even a believer. God's going to connect you with unbelievers. There was a man when we were getting ready to buy the building down the road. We were $7,000 short at closing day because of our lawyer's mistake. That man sat in a room offside of the sanctuary where we rented, and he walked out of the room and he said, Spencer, you are not a false pastor. He said, you're real. He said, so guess what? I heard your situation. I'm going to lend this church $7,000 and 5% interest. Pay me back when you get. That day, we were able to close on that building right down there on Old Ithaca Road. God did a miracle. That connection changed this church's life. The banker, he was a Catholic man. We had been turned down already by three. But that day, when we walked in, we gave the presentation. He started talking about how much he loved Jesus. He started talking about himself going to the hospitals and laying hands on the sick folk. And after about 30 minutes, he said, what do you guys want? I said, well, we need $200,000 to buy the building down the road. He said, how about $10,000 down? Will that be all right? Normally, it should be $60,000 down. The man cut a deal, a supernatural miracle, a connector. I saw that man no more than a year ago at Panera. And I looked at him and said, the success of His Tabernacle Family Church was blessed by you. Connections. Everybody shout connections. Shout divine connections. Divine connections. Pastor Banfield came to me when we were planning on building this property, and he said, I got a guy. His name was Noah Burkholder. He was a Mennonite. He wanted to start building churches, but didn't know exactly where to start. He built this church, some of you heard the miracle, for $25 a square foot. You need to know we're sitting in over a $3.5 million building that cost us $700,000+. That is a miracle, a divine connection that God gave us. Larry Vanderhoff did the excavation. Then there was a man named Mr. Dusterman. He said, I've got to be part of the vision. I'll be the banker that lends this church the $1.3 million to get the job done. How we doing? Then there was a man, many of you don't know, but I was getting ready to resign his tabernacle. I was done. My wife actually had already found a job. We're getting ready to put our house up for sale. About 5 years ago. And I stumbled across somebody calling themselves a coach. And I said, I don't even know what a coach is. And we hired that coach. And a man named Dr. Keith Johnson came here. And I don't think he did as much for the church as he did for me. But he coached me out of quitting. And today, this church, 5 years later, has increased by over 250 people every single Sunday morning. And I can't count the amount of people that have been born again. Why? Because of divine connection that God gave. Now, I'm not connected with him forever. I want you to recognize this. You're not always connected with those people forever, but that divine connection propelled you forward in the vision that God has for you. Pastor Mary Edlin died 3 years ago. And I remember looking at Brother Ted Shuttlesworth, and I said, I need a pastor. And he said, you know what? I'm going to connect you with Bishop Rick and Kathy Thomas out of Margate, Florida. Jump on a plane, go down there, spend 3 days, and find out if this is what God wants. And I'm here today to tell you that I thank God for Brother Ted's connection with Brother Bishop, and which now has connected us at his Tabernacle Family Church, and the impartation from his ministry has changed this body of Christ. You see, every single time you make a connection, the energy from that connector goes into you, and the DNA goes into you, the life source goes into you, and you and I start to change and transform. Why? Because what you receive is how you grow. What you put in is going to come out. You've got to be careful of the connectors in your life. You see, I want to put that in, yeah. People see this. They see his Tabernacle Family Church. But all these people that I talked about today, the only reason this picture is with this on top is because of all the connectors that God has placed in my life, divine connections. Every one of you in this room, you have lived a life of divine connections. And you don't even know it. God has been putting people in your life to steer you to your destiny. And sometimes we don't pay attention, or sometimes we miss the flight. Sometimes we miss our moment, and God is saying, I'm never giving up on you. It might take a little bit to get the next connection to you, but you got to pay attention. Your life has been made intentional by your salvation, by the blood that washed your sins away. You are not an accident. God has planned for you to aspire to do his will and his work, that we may please him with every fiber of our being. But that cannot happen, for success has never happened by just one person. There's always connectors in every single person's life that will bring us to the place of where God desires us to be. My question to us is this: have you missed the connection? Who are the connectors in your life? Have you thanked them? Have you appreciated them? Have you let them know God sent you to steer me in a greater design of heaven? You see, each one of us, if we don't pay attention, then we'll miss the connection and stay sitting in the terminal. We cannot sit in the terminal. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And if you're here today, you're here because God's connections are not done in your life. Whether you're to be connecting somebody else or whether God wants to connect you to someone, there's a time to recognize that your life is designed and purposed. Do not let it go to waste. Too many of us waste God's life. That's right. I didn't say your life. I said we waste God's life. My life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. Well, my life is insignificant, Pastor. I don't have a lot. I don't do a lot. You know, God is saying, listen to me. You start asking him what the connections are that you need to make this week, and God will put somebody on your heart. And the moment you start moving forward, the current will increase. Some of you, God's going to say, you need to disconnect because you are short-circuiting yourself with some of these people that you have in your life. And every single time you start to accelerate, every single time you start moving forward, there's sparks flying everywhere because there's a bad connection. And God's going to put his finger on a connection in your life. It's not a divine connection. It's a demonic connection to keep you from flowing to the greatest level that he has for your life. You've got to make decisions. Whether you just want to live, or you want to thrive, whether you want to survive and suck air, or you want to make an impact on this planet. And I believe without any question, everything, every person in this room, every person watching by live stream, every person watching by the television program, God has designed you. Before the foundations of the earth, he designed you. He put gifts in you. He put talents in you. He's got people in your pathway. And it's time for us to say, God, I don't understand it all. But the one thing I know is that I'm saved today because you connected me with so-and-so. And Father, today, I want to connect somebody else. God, today, I want to be someone who's going to make a difference. I don't want to live a life of regret on my last day's moments. Lord, I want to aspire to do the will of God. Lord, who do I connect with next? You start paying attention and you'll find those connectors in your life. If you don't, you'll be sitting in the terminal. And if you've ever sat in Detroit for 7 hours, the one thing you'll realize, you get bored real quick. Some of you are bored with your relationship with Jesus Christ because you refuse to connect to be brought higher. And you'll die in the terminal, never taking flight again, unless you make a choice. I refuse to miss my moments. Amen? Bow your head to me this morning. Today, the greatest connection you can make, the reason this puzzle is whole, is because of the people that God placed in my life to get me here. There's only one that changes a life from the inside out, and his name is Jesus. Today, if you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, I don't have a religion for you. I don't have a church for you. I have the greatest connector. His name is Christ. He wants to wash your sins away and give you destiny and purpose. Today, if you do not know Jesus, I'm not saying you don't know him, know about him, but you've never received him in your life. Today you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I'd like you to raise your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. You might be coming to this church for years and you've never received Christ. I'm not going to wait long. Come on, get your hand up. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, and last call, 1. If you're watching by live stream, you want to receive the Lord, I want you to make sure that you get on there. There's a proctor. We'll lead you to Jesus right online. You see, I believe that the greatest connection is Christ. And from there, wow, hang on for the ride. God's going to open opportunity. Father, I just speak over this congregation in the name of Jesus. Lord, I understand this message. Lord, if nothing else, it does one thing. What is the takeaway? That, Lord, each one of us have people in our lives we need to thank you for. Each one of us have people in our lives that we've got to disconnect from. Each person in our life, Lord, we need to evaluate and say, are they going to bring me higher? Or God, are they going to short circuit me? Lord, I pray in this body that, Lord, you'll bring every one of us to a greater relationship with you. That, Father, by the end of this year, 2018, we'll look back and say, I am not the same. The pieces of the puzzle have started to come together. And, Lord, you have made sense of my life. Thank you for purpose and destiny. Lord, I speak blessing over each one. As we're getting ready to go into the real world, to do the real work of God. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's all stand to our feet. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. This morning, if you need prayer for anything, the prayer team is here for you. We want to minister to you, encourage you, and strengthen you. And today, I have a challenge for you. Everyone, go home. Just take 15 minutes. Look over your life. Do this for me. Why don't you send an email? Why don't you make a phone call? Send a text message to at least three of the people that had the greatest impact that brought you to the place in Christ that you are today. Will everybody do that? If you do that, what you're going to find is that you will then start seeing more connections, and you're going to need to start sending more thank yous. And then you're going to find that should be happening in your life as well. Amen? Father, release a blessing in Jesus' name. And everybody receiving it said, we love you. Serve God with all of your heart. Have an awesome day.